about health and safety concerns among university housekeepers. The purpose of this study was to examine the working conditions among housekeepers employed at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill who filed a grievance with the university because of poor working conditions and low wages. North Carolina is a right-to-work state and is one of only two states that bans collective bargaining among state workers. In 1991, the housekeepers formed the Housekeepers Association at this university, and they filed a grievance with UNC, again, because of low wages, because of poor working conditions, lack of availability of advancement within their department and within the university, and a lack of opportunities for educational opportunities. In 1995, the North Carolina Supreme Court denied UNC's petition to dismiss the grievance. The housekeepers responded with what they called a modest proposal. The modest proposal included a description of the historical, in a historical context, the wage discrimination, and again, the lack of opportunities for advancement, not only among the housekeepers in the university, but other low-wage workers, including individuals in the food service portion of the university and in laundry. And this quote from the proposal really captures the essence of it. For generations, housekeeping workers have enabled educational and economic advancement for others while being denied the same opportunities. In 1996, the Housekeepers Association and UNC reached a settlement agreement that included a study that would examine the working conditions among those workers. In 1997, faculty at the School of Public Health at the university were commissioned to conduct a study looking at the working conditions, and they were responsible for then providing a report back to the university about adverse working conditions that they found, as well as recommendations to improve those conditions. So in 1998, this study was started, and I'm going to provide an overview of what we found with the focus groups, the walkthrough surveys, and a health survey. Focus groups were conducted. These were all done separately, first with leaders of the Housekeepers Association, housekeeping supervisors, and then housekeepers that worked in academic affairs or housekeepers that were responsible for cleaning the classrooms, the laboratory buildings, and then the dormitories. An occupational health nurse and an industrial hygienist conducted walkthrough surveys in 15 buildings on campus, and we met first separately with a supervisor for that particular building. Then the walkthrough assessment was conducted, followed by a meeting with the housekeepers who were employed in that building in the absence of that supervisor. We went in and we just asked the housekeepers, do you have anything to tell us about working in this particular building or working for the university? And we got a varied response, but we also put a plug in at that point that we would be conducting a mail survey, and if they didn't feel comfortable talking with us then, that we would really like for them to complete the survey. So the health survey included questions about whether or not the housekeepers had concerns about injuries and illnesses that they experienced on the job, the implementation of workplace policies, their level and comfort with the training that they received, the treatment that they received by their managers, and health problems that they attributed to their work. The health survey, it was a bit unconventional, excuse me, it was hand-delivered by myself. I drove around one day, this is years ago when I was a student, and I went around with a housekeeper who was responsible for delivering all the postal pieces, and I would have never found these locations had it not been for him. And so he literally took me around to every building on campus. We hand-delivered the surveys. I talked to the housekeepers, requested that they participate, ensured confidentiality. The survey was in the survey packet included a pre-stamped envelope so they could return the survey through the United States Postal Service. We also contacted and engaged the Housekeeping Association representatives, and we asked them to reinforce the importance of the housekeepers completing the survey. And so the first few series of slides is a combination of some of the focus group findings and the walkthrough assessments. And the most obvious issue when we did the walkthrough assessments was the poor conditions of the break rooms for the housekeepers. The majority of them were located in the basement of the buildings that they cleaned. They were in disarray, they were dirty, they had broken furniture. But this one in particular was a bit disturbing in that their break room was in the old embalming room. And it had the old embalming drain, and it freaked them out, literally. I mean, these housekeepers were like, I don't know what's coming out of that drain, but it doesn't smell good. And in the middle of the summer, there were days where they couldn't eat in that room. So just for effect, I threw this picture in there. But also in some of the buildings, there were no break rooms for the housekeepers, so they... And I quote, if I'm good enough to clean up the office and make them look very nice, why is it that the place I have to chill out for 10 minutes is a broom closet? And as you can see, this gentleman is literally sitting in the middle of this closet that's surrounded by all of the buffers and the vacuum cleaners and all the cleaning agents up here. Extreme temperatures were an issue, especially for night workers who come in at 4 in the morning. They begin to clean the buildings, and the heat wasn't turned on until around 7 or 8 a.m. And I quote, in the wintertime, it'd be so cold in there because they don't turn on the heat. They don't turn the heat on until the secretaries come to work at a certain time. Extreme temperatures were also an issue for housekeepers in the dormitories in the summertime. Normally, there aren't students in the summertime, but they do. Student orientation, so you come in for a few days. If you're going to be a new student, you stay in the dormitory, and then so there's a constant rotation of students, new students coming in for just a few days and then leaving, and so the housekeepers were cleaning in the dormitories without any heat. Housekeepers complained during the focus groups about the poor conditions in some of the laboratories, that needles were left out, and that in the drains there were blood products and tissue that they had to clean out, and that really frightened them. And then when we conducted the walkthrough surveys, just an example of a hypodermic needle, which was rather large. It's about a 16-gauge needle that was left out on a bench. Another issue in some of the laboratories were the crowded hallways. And if you work in a lab, you know that space is a premium. And so a lot of the professors would store their materials out in the hallway. Lifting equipment was an issue in the dormitories in these old buildings where there are no elevators, so they had to lift the vacuum cleaners and the buffers up and down the steps. When you get a vacuum cleaner, they get heavy when you have to bring them from the first floor to the third floor. It causes your back to hurt. And someone provided a very common sense solution of why don't you store the vacuum cleaners and the buffers, at least one, on every floor, which seemed to make pretty good sense. Low wages has been a constant issue at this university for decades. 24 or 50% of the housekeepers who participated in the focus groups had second jobs. What they assign you to do, it ain't equal to that pay. When you have to go in on Mondays, like when you have to haul the trash out or go in that bathroom where that feces and urine and whatever's in there, it's not equal. We had 66% response rate to our survey, or 210 responses. More than half were female. 57% worked night shift or evening shift. The mean years of age was 45.5. Mean years of working as a housekeeper was 6.7. And mean years of working at the university was 9.3. A large proportion, 65%, felt that they were given enough information about the risks of their job, and they also felt valued. They felt that their opinions were valued and concerns were valued by their supervisors. However, 60% were concerned about the exposures on their job, that they were unhealthy or unsafe. However, 62% felt that that risk was just part of the job. 38% were concerned about the security, and 23% were concerned about being physically attacked. And this was primarily a concern among housekeepers who worked at night. And 18% considered leaving because of unsafe working conditions. A large proportion, almost 70%, were concerned about being exposed to other people's germs. And those majority working in the laboratory were concerned about exposures to germs and viruses in the lab. Again, we see that they were concerned about extreme temperatures, hot and cold, cluttered hallways, and chemical splashes and spills. And when we did this one particular walkthrough, we came up on this huge corrosive area in this building, and we asked one of the housekeepers, and they said, yeah, they keep making me clean that up, and I don't know what it is. And it was just coming out of the ceiling, and who knows what it was, but the housekeeper was extremely concerned that they were continually asked just to clean it up, and they didn't know what it was. 62% were concerned about having to lift and move heavy objects. Again, the cluttered hallways, they were responsible for removing some of that, and it was extremely heavy. They were concerned about working with faulty equipment, working around sharp objects, cleaning with strong chemicals, and working around chemicals in the lab. 63% reported having problems with backaches or back pain. More than half were feeling exhausted. 49% indicated that they felt stressed or anxious. 37% were feeling depressed or blue, and 36% reported at one point having skin rashes. So we wrote up a report that included the study findings, and we listed the recommendations, and then we went to the chancellor's office and we provided a presentation to the chancellor and his team, as well as providing presentations in the full report to all of the housekeepers. We recommended, of course, that the cleaning equipment be located on each floor, especially within the dormitories. The formal training should be provided on how to operate the equipment, especially the buffers. That all night shift workers should carry radios to ensure their safety. That monthly safety meetings should be conducted. And this was really important because when we met with environmental safety, they had some great programs that they had developed. They had a bloodborne pathogen kit for the housekeepers to use that when they went around to the labs, if they came across something that needed to be scooped out of the sink. When we asked the housekeepers about that during the walkthrough assessments, they didn't know anything about it. We recommended routine maintenance of equipment. A lot of the buffers and vacuum cleaners had frayed cords. We recommended adequate heating and cooling in the buildings for individuals who were either working night shift or during the summer months, and that they'd be provided with clean break rooms. So some years have passed, and recently we contacted the university to see what they've done with these recommendations. What did they do? And I don't have time now to go into the difference between zone cleaning and team cleaning, but this is a process that they've been working on for about three or four years. They've conducted two pilot studies with this that included the housekeepers if they wanted to be participants in the pilot studies, and then they would be able to provide input into the change into this cleaning process. But in a nutshell, the housekeepers would work together in teams instead of being isolated and working on a certain floor all by themselves. And so workers would no longer work alone at night. In addition, the university purchased new equipment that was evaluated by the university ergonomists. They were using green cleaning agents. Now, whether or not the housekeepers were experiencing problems with that, I don't know. They changed the infrastructure, the reporting structure within the department. So housekeepers have more of an opportunity for advancement and promotion. There's a lot of new construction going on at the university, like most universities, and there is a policy now that there has to be an inclusion of a break area for the housekeepers in those new buildings, and that the housekeeper closet can only be used for the housekeeping tasks. And across the board at the university, there was an anonymous system put into place where employees could file complaints anonymously. So that includes the housekeepers. The UNC administration did admit that they have tried unsuccessfully to address the issue that employees have to pay the full cost of health insurance for their families. They did not make a comment on the wages. Oops. So in contrast to the information that I got from the university administrators, I then went to the Daily Tar Heel, which is the university newspaper. It's online. And I pulled every article that I could find from 2000 through 2007, and I came up with 70 articles that addressed some type of issue with the housekeepers. And there were quite a few that were very negative, and they talked again about the low wages. They talked about this problem with team cleaning. And so I believe that the relationship there is still contentious. It's been contentious for a long time. My impression is the university is trying to move forward with this. They did indicate in two articles, one, at one point there was a 3% raise, and then later that there was a bigger raise of 10%. Some of these individuals, though, make $7 an hour, so a 10% raise on $7 an hour isn't going to be enough for them to then quit that second job that they have, so it continues to be an issue. Oops, sorry. So in conclusion, we have some key study personnel in this project, and the Housekeepers Association was pivotal. These were housekeepers that had worked at the university for a very long time, and they were very interested in this study. They really promoted it. They had developed a relationship with the faculty who were doing the study, which was key. And so a trusting relationship was developed there at the outset of that study. There was a mix of qualitative and quantitative methods. And unlike many of the presentations here, when we talk about this mix, the qualitative methods for this study did not inform the quantitative methods. These pieces were all done separately. Everyone kind of went off and did their piece. So someone did walkthrough assessments, someone else did the survey, someone else did the focus groups, and then we all kind of got back together, and then we found that we had all found the same thing. And I think we were very lucky that it just kind of all came together and we had consistent findings, but the methods that we used several years ago are a little bit different than what's been really presented here at this conference with a mix of qualitative and quantitative methods. So again, we had this consistency with all the different pieces of information that we collected.